You're listening to Making Palmy Home. I'm Lorna Johnson, and this is Manawatu Two Peoples Radio. And my guest this morning is a fellow UK person, Frank Bolton, who I've known for quite a few years. So good morning, Frank. How are you?
Good morning, Lorna. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. That's really good. So thanks for coming on the show, Frank. Would you like to just tell us a little bit about how long you've been in New Zealand and what brought you here?
Well, it's almost exactly 32 years now.
Wow.
And what brought me here? Well, love brought me here.
Oh, that's lovely. That's really nice. So, well, you tell us as much as you want to tell us about that. We don't have to pry too much.
Well, I met a New Zealand guy in the UK. Mm-hmm. A long, long time ago now, and we decided we wanted to spend our lives together. This was in Margaret Thatcher's era, so
yes.
No chance of that in the UK.
No.
So it was either New Zealand or a third country, and we decided to have a go on New Zealand, and in the end it all worked out fine. He's now no longer with us, but it was nice while it lasted.
Aww. Well, gosh, that's a very it's a poignant story, isn't it, really, about you know, how people are prepared to move countries to be with the person that they want to be with?
Well, yes, it is. But, you know, I think that love conquers everything, and so we should conquer everything for love.
Very good. So tell us a little bit about what it was like in the UK at that time, because, I mean, I lived through it as well, but it wasn't a particularly a nice environment to be in, was it?
It was a horrendous environment to be in. It was Margaret Thatcher's era. It was at the height of the damage that they were doing to our country.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I didn't dare talk about it until we had a fundraiser film to raise money for the Palmerston North Labour Party, and we watched Spirit of 45, and I thought, well, that's it. People know how bad it was. I don't have to hide it anymore.
I know. I think those of us who sort of went through that, and it was a lot worse as well, I think, because there were a lot of attacks on human rights by Thatcher and her government.
Lots of attacks. Of course, the one that was very important to me was Clause 28. We fought tooth and nail against that. And in the end, my departure for the UK was a bit like a flight from a chamber of horrors.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to go underground and leave the country in secret.
Really?
Because, yes, I did my best to try to bring down the Thatcher government, and as such I was a persona non grata.
Right, okay. So for those who don't know about Clause 28, just talk people through what Clause 28 was.
Well, Clause 28 was an attack on gay rights. It said basically that homosexuality is not to be accepted as a pretend family relationship by the city councils.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to live together with a same-sex partner, it wasn't recognised.
And I think, as I recall, there was quite a lot of things like library books being removed that had any mention to same-sex couples and all that sort of thing, wasn't there?
Yes, it was amazing.
It was like a purge, almost.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It was amazing. I couldn't believe it.
No. No, not a nice time. So, okay. So you made your way to New Zealand. And where did you settle first?
Well, my partner lived in Auckland, and so that's where we settled together.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed Auckland. It's a beautiful city.
And what were the differences that you... Can you think back to some of the differences that struck you when you first arrived? What was different about Auckland in those days compared to the UK or England, where you'd come from?
Well, it was a more peaceful environment. It was a saner, safer environment. Although the funny thing is that Auckland and Stoke-on-Trent, where I was born, are rather similar to each other because they all have these beautiful green hills. Auckland's are natural. They're mainly volcanoes. Our green hills were slag heaps from the coal mining, and the council decided to get rid of those. They realised that moving them would just move the problem somewhere else. So they landscaped them and they sowed them with grass seed, put footpaths in, and they planted them with trees, and so they're now these beautiful forest parks.
So they made a nice feature out of something that was really quite sort of they post-industrial landscape, really.
A purse out of a sow's ear, yeah.
So in the course of time then, you came down to Palmerston North. Do you remember how long is it that you've been living here?
Well, I must have arrived here about 2010, but yes. I lived for a short while in Dannevirke. Mm-hmm. That didn't work out too well. Dannevirke is a lovely place, and I loved living in rural accommodation, but I needed to be closer to certain facilities, and so I ended up moving to Palmerston North, and the move here was somewhat sudden. I got taken sick and had to be rushed to hospital. So I ended up in Palmerston North sooner than expected, yeah, and quite by surprise.
Right. And what was your first feel of Palmerston North? What was your initial take on living in Palmerston North?
Well, it seems a little quiet, but I thought I thought it was the right time of life for things to be quiet.
Right.
But I soon found my way around, and it's a city that turned out to be remarkably interesting.
Okay. So tell us a bit more about that then. What did you find interesting?
Well, I found some of the shops interesting. I found its multiculturalism interesting. Mm. I found that the council put on a wonderful range of events. How many theatres have we got? Is it four?
Mm.
That's about the same amount as Stoke-on-Trent.
Right.
It's about the same size as Stoke-on-Trent. I just loved Palmerston North once I started to settle in.
That's interesting. Do you think because it reminded you of home or?
No, not really. There were a few superficial similarities, but that probably helped. But it had some interesting shops, like all the ethnic food shops,
yep,
and Davis Trading. Mm. And of course, Inspire Me. I go in there every week to buy rocks and things.
So that's one of your hobbies, isn't it? Collecting rocks and shells?
And rocks, shells, fossils,
yep,
anything that can be taken without doing any harm,
yep,
to Mother Nature.
Mm. Well, I suppose lots of people maybe have an impression of what Palmerston North's like, and it's only when they're here that they discover things about it that they perhaps didn't know before coming. So maybe there's an element of that.
Maybe yeah, they just shouldn't listen to John Cleese.
Yeah, maybe not. So did you feel welcomed when you came to Palmerston North? I mean, did you find it, an open and sort of welcoming place?
I found that I had friends very quickly.
Right.
Of course, I still had visits from friends over in Danibeverk. And most of my time here, I was doing freelance work.
Right. So were you working from home, as it were, or how was that working?
Either at home or in the library,
right,
or in the square or somewhere, basically doing things like language teaching or language coaching.
So tell us a bit about your interest in languages, because I think you've got a remarkable grasp of a large number of languages, don't you?
I wouldn't call it a remarkable grasp. I can speak some of them fluently, and at the other end, some are good enough to be useful in hotel or restaurants or information centre. But
give us an idea of the types of languages that you can speak then, to some degree. I mean, I have a bit of an idea, but I don't know them all.
English, French, German, Yiddish, Welsh, Georgian, Japanese. And of course, modern Greek. I speak a number of ancient languages, including Latin, ancient Greek, ancient Hebrew, and Sanskrit. So there's quite a number of so-called scriptural languages there. And I used to teach biblical languages.
Right. I'm like in awe of that. I think that's a huge range of languages. What inspired you? Is it just that once you can speak one language, you're interested in learning another one?
Well, once you've learnt one foreign language, the next one comes easier because you don't have to learn all the grammatical terminology. But I think that my family sort of set me up for learning quite a number of languages. Our family could sometimes be like the Tower of Babel.
Well, that's a good point at which I think to take the musical break. And tell us a little bit about the track you've chosen to be played in the break.
Well, it's a track by the musician Mikis Theodorakis, a Greek composer. He was a lot more than a composer. He was a left-wing politician. He was tortured numerous times. He was sent into exile many times, three times, in fact, I think. He fought in the Greek resistance against the Nazis, and he was a guard of Jews in hiding. So he received awards from a large number of countries, including Israel.
Wow.
And he died last month, on the 2nd of September, and that is why his songs are going through my head all the time at the moment.
And is there something about this particular song?
It's one of the most popular ones. It's a love song.
Right.
I believe in love. Conquers everything.
Oh, that's very appropriate. Right, well, let's have a listen to it.
Thank you.
together.
Άξιος. Πάμε λοιπόν.
Ο δρόμος είναι σκοτεινός,
ως ο μας σε προβαλέ μέσα στραγή, το χέρι να θα σου δω όπως πω. Στρώσε το στρώμα σου για δυο.
Για σένα και για μένα.
Fantastic. So we're back now on Making Palmy Home. You're listening to Lorna Johnson and my guest today, Frank Bolton. So, Frank, before the break, we were talking about, you know, your first impressions of Palmerston North and how you found it interesting. So you've travelled quite a bit, haven't you, throughout the world?
Quite a bit, yeah. Yes.
So what makes you stay here in Palmerston North now for your, I think as we called it before, your retirement, really? It's your retirement years now, isn't it?
Yes.
In one sense.
The more I stay in Palmerston North, the more I find to like here because there's so much that goes on and I'm involved with the Palmerston North Labour Party. I have been involved with Malgra. I've resigned from their committee now, but I still do things for them whenever I can.
So just to cut in there, Malgra's the Manawatu Association of Lesbian and Gay Rights Association.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's the oldest gay rights association in New Zealand, I believe.
It is. I believe that it's the oldest LGBTI organisation in the Southern Hemisphere.
Wow.
And okay. They're very proud of that.
Okay, so you're busy with the Labour Party. You've been busy with Malgra. What are the other things that you've been involved with?
I still do some language teaching.
Right. So not fully retired
not
then?
Not fully retired, yeah. No. It's mainly Biblical Hebrew.
Right.
I get involved in all sorts of human rights campaigns, right. Not just gay rights.
No.
But
more broadly than that.
Yeah. But they're usually very ad hoc things.
So as things come along.
As issues come up, yes.
So would you describe yourself as a bit of an activist, Frank? Are you bit of an activist, really?
Yes, I feel like you always have been. Yes.
Yeah. And what drives you to that? I'm asking the difficult questions now. I said it wouldn't be too difficult, but it's interesting, I think, for people to.
I'd rather be busy all the time. I think that busy people tends to be happier people, even if you get to the point where you're dying for a rest. you know, I'd rather be like that than sitting at home, bored, channel surfing.
It's purposeful activity, isn't it?
Yes. It doesn't matter how purposeful it is. It can be a sport or a game, you know, but so long as you're busy with something.
Yeah, I think it's generally good for your well-being to be involved in these things. Yeah,
and I think that's very important. Mm. This particular time when we've just been in lockdown again and we don't know if we're going to have another lockdown or more restrictions or what. We don't know what's coming. And I think that people who can remain busy, whether it's purposeful things or recreational things, tend to weather the storm a little bit better than others.
I think you're right. It's better to have something that sort of makes you get up in the morning, really, and gives you that sort of incentive to keep going.
And, of course, the thing is that people keep talking about how terrible things are, but when you look at it, we're actually better off in New Zealand than most other countries at the moment.
Yes, we are. And I think even though, you know, perhaps people would have liked us to have never had any cases of COVID, you know, we've done very well to keep ahead of it. To this stage where a lot of people have had the opportunity to be vaccinated already.
Yes, I think we have.
Yeah. So when you sort of step back and take a look at Palmerston North as it is today, are there things, do you think, that we could be doing to be more welcoming to newcomers or to make people feel when they come here that, you know, quickly that they're part of the community?
Well, yes, anything that you can do to draw people into the community. You know, I mean, we've got our Festival of Cultures. That's a good place to draw people into. And don't just let them see it, but try to fire them up with ideas about what they could do at the Festival of Cultures next year, and try to put them in touch with someone who can help with getting things organised, because things like filling out forms for the council can be very, very difficult. Yeah. You know, you might have conversational English, but that's not quite the same as bureaucratic English. No. And so it's very important to put people in touch with helpers and to encourage them to showcase their culture in Palmerston North. I think that we should encourage people to preserve their cultures and their languages and their religious beliefs in Palmerston North.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. And I think it's a good point about the language there, because I think, you know, your experience of learning a number of different languages probably has given you that insight in that there's different levels of ability within a language. You can you might be able to have a conversation, but working your way through bureaucratic form, it requires a different level probably.
Well, yes, because unfortunately red tape can be very convoluted.
yes, it can.
We are working on producing forms
plain English.
In plain English. Yeah. That will help.
Yeah, I think it will. So have you ever thought about going back to the UK, or are you definitely, this is it in New Zealand
at
for you now?
At the moment, no, because the UK that I was born into and brought up in, where we became part of the common market, it was called back then, and it was a wonderful future. I felt, you know, I liked the idea of being European,
part of Europe,
a bigger community. Of course, you know, we had all sorts of wonderful things happen, like flower power and the hippies, and everything seemed so positive about life. And now that I'm in New Zealand, I see the pendulum swinging the other way in Europe, and in particular the UK. And I almost wept over seeing Brexit.
Oh, Brexit. I know,
happen.
It was terrible.
And I mean, they're paying a price for it now. They don't want foreigners. So they're doing without.
Well, they've had to draft the army in to supply fuel to the petrol stations.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose I better be careful. We're getting into the politics now. But I mean, it is frustrating, I think, when you look back at your country of birth and you just can't believe what's happening there. I mean, I feel that frustration.
And it's interesting that you should use that word, country of birth, because I had to think very carefully after the Christchurch massacre, because I called England my home country.
Yeah.
And I thought, how can I tell these people this is your home if I don't call it home myself?
That's
interesting. So, no, New Zealand is my home country.
Yeah.
And England is the old country.
Right. Well, that's a good way of referring to it. And I think probably a good spot to end on. So, look, thanks for your time, Frank. It's been great talking to you. I've really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you for the invitation to be here.
That's great. So people who've been listening to Making Palmy Home, I'm Lorna Johnson, and you can catch the podcast at npr.nz/show/Making Palmy Home. Cheerio.